And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar with us today, baby. The beginning of a new era, the Ian Safar era on Robbie and Rex Road. Ian, welcome to the program.
What's going on, man? Oh, not too much. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. Excited to have you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it. I said a few words on Stillman & Company, I guess, a week or so ago, about moving on from afternoon show. Had some childcare situation with the fam.
Yep.
So, moving to the mornings.
Did you say a few words including, good riddance, Jared?
Those exact words did not come up. Per se.
GFY! But, see ya!
But I just want to thank everybody, management, Chase, our general manager, Sean, Bud, Nick Keezer, you guys, Jared, everybody for being so supportive and helping out.
Yep. Well, we're really happy to have you.
I want to say something to you. It's the same thing I said to Nick, but you are on the Mount Rushmore of Robbie and Rex Road producers.
You are.
Oh, that's true. Already, there's only four now.
You already earned your way onto the Mount Rushmore.
Well, let's hope I don't get bumped off at some point.
That's true. Well, we're happy to have Ian with us
on
the program.
It should be fun.
Moving forward here, no doubt about it. It's going to be awesome, and looking forward to what we're going to do together here on the show. And fortunately for you, Ian, crazy day to start.
Feels like old times today, huh?
Just kind of feel like old times. So, Joe, we had a conversation about Nico Iamaliava and a potential contract negotiation with Tennessee on Friday. So this was Friday morning at, like, I don't know, 6:30, 6:45 is when this all went down.
One of the all-time, oh, then the news breaks right after our show.
Yeah, it was really, really special what happened after that. So let's just quickly roll through what's happened since our show Friday. He doesn't show up to practice on Friday, which just raises red flags everywhere. So, you know, the latest information when we were talking Friday morning was he was in contract negotiations. Tennessee fans were yelling at On3 Sports about their report.
Pete Nackos. Was getting called a B word.
Was just getting absolutely crucified out there. Nico's dad was yelling at him on Twitter, and that's where we kind of left things off Friday morning. Well, Friday morning after our show ends, he doesn't show up for the final spring practice before the spring game. No one can apparently find him all day long. There's all these reports that Tennessee, like, cannot get a hold of Nico Iamaliava. So it starts to become pretty clear that something's going down. And then by the time Saturday morning rolls around, Joe, apparently Friday night, Nico had contacted Joey Halsley, the Tennessee offensive coordinator, and said that he had put his paperwork in, that he was going into the transfer portal. And by Saturday morning, Josh Heupel had informed the team that they were moving on from Nico Iamaliava. So in the span of like a day, it went from, well, it looks like Nico's in contract negotiations with Tennessee, to, well, Nico's no longer a part of the football team. They're moving on at quarterback, and he's going in the portal. What a wild weekend for Tennessee.
Unbelievable. And it's amazing. There's a lot of things to this. We're going to get to all of it today, but it's amazing like how Nico has been at the center of so many things, right? He's been at the center of, whoa, look at this new era where multi-million dollar deals are happening. And then, whoa, look at this huge court case that the Tennessee Attorney General, and this could be like where we all know for sure now you have no power at all to enforce rules. And now we have basically the first holdout, and a very dumb one and a very bad one. And I look at, you just laid out the timeline. To me, it's pretty simple. Like, they overplayed their hand. And I say they, I mean, I have no idea what's going on. Maybe Nico behind closed doors is like, hey, Dad, shut up, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I doubt it. I think Nick Iamaliava looks like a complete idiot in this situation. And I think they overplayed their hand. And then I think Tennessee decided to, frankly, go to media to get the court of public opinion on their side in part, and just because they were exasperated by the situation. And then the reaction the other way is, don't show up. Just don't go. So it just ends that quickly. And it's a shame. It's a shame for him. It's a shame for Tennessee. But I think that ultimately, like, this is a decision you had to make.
Yeah, like, it is crazy. I was thinking about – I saw a tweet about this over the weekend, and I did think about this in the time. You know, the craziest part about this whole thing from strictly the Tennessee standpoint – is like this is like maybe the third or fourth or fifth craziest thing that's happened down there in the last 15 to 20 years. I mean, you've got all the Kiffin stuff and the Shiano stuff, and there's been some wild things that have gone on with Tennessee. I mean, the McDonald's bags allegedly.
Sure.
So there's been a lot of things that have happened with Tennessee. So in some ways, this just kind of feels like the latest installment there. It is pretty wild. Like the basically the universal support – in the aftermath of this, that Josh Heupel and the Tennessee program have gotten. It was interesting to watch that over the weekend unfold that way. It's a shame that it's worked out this way, because we're going to get to this from the Heupel standpoint a little bit later in the show. What did we say last year about Nico Iamaleava? The way that his Tennessee tenure goes was probably going to, in large part, determine what Josh Heupel was as a Tennessee head coach. And now here we are, a year into him being a starting quarterback, and he's gone. And it tells me a lot of things. And again, like you said, we got a whole lot to get into on this thing today. But here's a couple of things that are just kind of my takeaway. We're going to hear a lot of Tennessee fans talk about George McIntyre and the big recruit that he is coming from here locally. We're going to hear a lot of Tennessee fans talk about Faizon Brandon, who's the number one overall player in America in 2026, who they've got committed to them. And my standpoint on this is now and will continue to be moving forward here. Yeah, well, that's great. Let me know when they're on the field, when that first Saturday in September rolls around and they're the starting quarterback. Like, that's – I think if you're a fan, I'm not saying you don't get excited about recruits. I'm not saying you don't get excited about player movement when it benefits your team. But basically now it's like, yeah, let me know when fall camp starts and one of those guys are playing quarterback for you moving forward. That's where we're at in college football at the moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, even before all this era, quarterback rooms would always spread out, right? So, I mean, I agree. And actually, I right now, I think Jake Merklier, I think he's going to be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, for this year's team, he very well could be.
So
I'm just talking about those high-level recruits moving forward. I do not care until they walk on campus.
For sure, for sure. I mean, George is there, you know. So, yeah. I mean, and I think that but again, it's like, is Brandon going to come in and be awesome immediately? And then who transfers out of
is he going to come in at all? Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Do you even get to that point? Yeah. And then, of course, so I think one thing that we may have this week, which will probably happen at 9:04 on some particular day, is Tennessee pry a QB away from somebody else now?
Right. And that's going to be a big part of this week as well. But, look, you know, this is going to be really interesting to see, number one, where does Nico end up? Where is the next stop going to be for him? Because, Joe, my thought process on this was he had to have at least been offered by somebody and has some idea of where he's going, or this just makes this even more of just the dumbest decision ever by him and his representatives. And I'll put representatives there because some of that's family. Some of that, I believe, is actual quote-unquote representation.
But it's like a family friend agent. Like, it's a complete bleep show, man.
So I hope for his sake that there's been – you know, we know there's been back-channeling. I hope for his sake that he, prior to all this, found something and was like, this is where I'm going. And it's worked out that way. I kind of think maybe it hasn't, and he's just floating in the wind right now, which is not a very good spot for him to be.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, look, if he goes in, I think this will come out, I think, today probably at about 9:07. If he goes in and has a do not contact tag, then I guess we know
then
that.
We know.
But I bet you it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think they just played the portal's coming open. And, you know, apparently there was some shopping on their part to other schools.
Yeah.
And, you know,
A lot of interesting rumors about that one, too.
Yeah, Dan Lanning was asked about that the other day, but. I mean, who knows? We'll see. But my suspicion here is that that's not the case. And so, you know, like, does a UCLA end up bringing him home or something like that? Maybe. So you're going to go play for a bad school. They're not going to pay $4 million.
Yeah.
I mean, again, he got a raise already. And to just if this was just as simple as we got the portal coming up and we're just going to leverage for more money and do whatever we can to try to get more money. It's just a terrible play. Terrible.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nico Iamaliava out as Tennessee quarterback. Where do the Vols go from here? How did we get to this point? And what does this all mean for the state of college football? We got a lot to get into on that front throughout the show. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us at 7:30. We'll get Corey Curtis's thoughts on this for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock as well. We'll have more of your reaction coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I'm sure I'm going to get asked about this here in a second, so I'll address it on the front end. Today's landscape of college football is different than what it has been. It's unfortunate, just the situation and where we're at with Nico. I want to thank him for everything that he's done since he's gotten here. That's as a recruit to who he was as a player and how he competed inside of the building. And so a great appreciation for that side of it. Obviously, we're moving forward as a program without him.
That's Josh Heupel after the orange and white game on Saturday. Joe, we were just talking in the break. Ian came in here and told us about just some of the clips he had cut up. I thought on Saturday, and granted, the bar for this is not very high, admittedly, I thought that was one of his best press conferences that I've seen from Heupel on Saturday. I mean, I thought he was going to go in there and just shut it all down and not really talk about any of it. He did not. I think one time he said he didn't really want to get into the specifics of one question. But other than that, like, he pretty much just kind of laid it all out there on Saturday.
I agree. It was probably his best presser, which, again, I'm sure Tennessee fans are like, oh, great.
Yeah.
So glad that you guys liked his presser off this. How exciting. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he was good. He was revealing, as you said during the break, probably spurred on a little bit by how pissed off he is about the whole thing, which I totally understand.
I knew he was mad when he threw it out there that he was like, he got asked, like, basically, like, when did you know that he wasn't going to be your quarterback anymore? He was like, yeah, when he was a no-show on Friday at practice. I had a pretty good idea at that point. It's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. No, it was you saw some real stuff there from him. And, again, it's one of those things where this isn't out of – it's out of nowhere for the public, not out of nowhere for him, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. All the back and forth. But you can trace some of this going back and – well, it's just it's such bad decision making on the part of, again, Team Nico. I'm gonna say Team Nico. I'm gonna put it off on his dad way more than on him. I don't know how all the conversations went, but it just real bad decision making.
Well, and as we go through this, this has been going on for a while from the Nico Iamaliava side of things. Josh Pate on his show last night had some really interesting comments about the college football playoff and Nico and some potential threats that were made at that point, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show as well. But this has been going on for a while from the Nico side of things. So this is how it's ended up. He's gone, and now he's out there floating in the wind in the transfer portal, we think. And we'll see what Tennessee does from here. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody gets off to a safe work week this week. Joe, this is more of a reporting question I wanted to ask you because it's in your wheelhouse. What happens, when a reporter, and if something in your past, if you could talk about, what happens when a reporter has to talk about a story that a lot of people or a big segment is not going to like? If you notice, a lot of people started hollering at this reporter, fake news, you're a liar. You're just wanting to stir up trouble. Is there a vindication process? Did some people show class and apologize for what they said? And what is it like when you have to report something a lot of people don't want to hear? Good to talk to y'all.
Thank you, Kenny.
Hey, thanks, Kenny. Okay, so we have a topic for the rest of the show. I've got 3 hours of talking about this. I know you've just brought up all these deep-rooted feelings of anger. No, I mean, Well, first of all, with this situation with Pete Nakos, and I hope I'm saying his name right. It's not Nakos.
Could be Nakos.
It's true.
I don't know.
Yes, but Pete from On3.
Big Pete.
Who does a lot of reporting on the portal and is a reliable reporter, has proven to be, you know, a good, reliable reporter. I don't know that I've seen him come back, but his boss, Shannon Terry, has definitely gotten some vindication and ripping the people on social media. And again, I don't blame those guys. And Ari, our buddy, my old coworker, our friend of the show, Ari Wasserman, has gone out there a little bit too and said, hey, idiots, are you going to apologize? I mean, that's, you know, look, social media, there's just so many things. This happens a lot, right? And again, it never makes sense. It's like, yes, you're just trying to stir something up. Yeah, you're right. I'm just coming out of nowhere with this just because it would benefit me to get you all angry for no reason to make something up. No, it totally makes sense. But, I think for the most part, if you're him, and I think that's what he's done, you just keep doing your job.
Yep.
You know? And then hopefully you have other people who are screaming at them. They've got some people over there who are screaming at Vol Twitter. So, but, I wrote about like how a lot of Vols fans yelled at him, and then I got people in my comments saying, you know, that's a bunch of BS. But I'm like, God, look, if you want to go look at his mentions, we can do that together.
Yeah, they're pretty readily available.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot. What is a lot? You know, I have no idea what percentage of the Tennessee fan base went to kill the messenger when this happened. I don't know. I mean, it's probably not a huge amount of people.
But there's a lot of Tennessee fans.
Exactly. It's like anything is a lot, right? I mean, a lot of Tennessee fans also were probably level-headed and like, well, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah.
You know, this guy has reported accurately before on stuff. Huh, let's see.
Yeah.
People get mad, man. People get emotional quickly.
There is no doubt about that. Said back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
I think we're asking too much if we're asking someone to be level-headed on social media. But that's just me.
Fair point. It is fair.
Robbie, you had said earlier in the last segment that Josh Heupel's tenure was going to be based on Nico. And, I mean, that'd be fair if he was still around. I don't think this letting go of Nico should be on Josh Heupel at all. I think the university did the right thing based on what we heard through the grapevines from teammates. You can't let a single player hold an entire team or university hostage. Josh Heupel obviously was going to steal what I was going to say. It's unfortunate, but it's just the landscape we're in. My question for y'all is, if Nico was, and I know this is a long stretch, but if Nico was a highly touted prospect and something like this happened, what would the NFL think? Because, I mean, obviously NFL is all about team guys, and obviously this is not a team guy.
Yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Nate. The last part of it's interesting. I mean, some of this – if he goes out there wherever it is next year and he plays really, really well, let's say he gets the deal he's looking for. Like, some of it's just going to be, there are no guardrails in college football. This is what it is, and I got the best deal for me. I saw a lot of people making a lot of the NFL part of this. Number one, let's see the season he has and whether or not the NFL is on his radar after this year. But number two, like, if he goes out there and he gets paid a lot of money and he ends up playing really well in the next situation that he's in, is this going to come up? Of course it is. Like, the way that he's handled this, and specifically, you're right, Team Nico has handled this, it's going to come up. Some people are treating this as if this is like some insurmountable obstacle that he's going to be able to not overcome at the NFL level next year. And I think we all know that if he plays well enough, that part of it really won't matter all that much.
No, I mean, again, this is where the comparison – I mean, this is where the comparison works with – so we're talking about someone holding someone hostage to get more money. So, like, what do coaches do? I mean, right? Like, coaches set the culture in the NFL. They want unselfishness, but they also then go to other jobs, don't
right.
they? I mean, he overplayed his hand. This is like being delusional about what you are or what you can get, but, like, and I know it's a holdout, so it's different in college football. I don't think it means much. Again, if he's good enough, of course it'll come up and they'll talk about it. And I hope what he does is say, guys, now that I'm, you know, coming to the NFL, I have a little more autonomy. I had no autonomy. My dad, Nick Iamilava, here, let's bring him in. You ask him what happened because exactly. He screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah, exactly. There's part of that too. And to be clear, on the hypo part of this, we were talking last year about when, you know, the hypo era largely was going to be defined, we thought, at that point by Nico Iamilava. And how good or not good was he? Obviously, the dynamic has now shifted since then. Now, look, there are some questions about Josh Heupel that I've got through all this, both how we've gotten to this point and now where it's going. Because, look, I know that Tennessee fans are galvanized right now, and it's like, well, he's gone. We got our guys in there now. The bottom line is right now they're not a very good football team. And I know people don't want to hear that, but they've got total unproven players at quarterback. They've got a guy who may or may not be ready to be a starting quarterback in Merklinger. I have no idea. But there's a pretty good chance that he is not ready to be a starting quarterback. And we'll see if they go find somebody in the portal. But right now, like, they may be like 7-5 football team. So are you okay with that? Because that may be what they are at the moment.
Yeah. It's almost like, in the NFL, like we talk about, yeah, it's like Brian Callahan. So if they get the young QB, then, you know, it's about, like, development and your record doesn't matter as much. I mean, I do think this I think this has changed that whole thing with Heupel, right? Right now, Heupel's approval rating very high in how he handled this. And obviously, I don't think people are going to blame him if they go 7-5 this year.
I know this place.
As much. Well, yeah.
They will. No, you're right. This thing will change very quickly
if
they're not good this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, so how does it look?
Yeah.
You know, like, did they improve some things? Is it just like, okay, well, they were just missing the QB. And now next year, Faison's coming in. And, you know, even though, like you said, well, first of all, does that happen? Let's see. But also, true freshman in this offense, it's not really.
Let me know when he's a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's interesting because I do feel like there's probably more grace here bought for Heupel. You know, this situation is the biggest situation in sports right now,
yeah.
You know? And so I think there will be. But you're right, once you go through the process of it, and then people are going to look up and say, okay, so what has this guy done?
Right.
Now, he did make the playoff last year.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question of what happens from here. We're going to get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Nico Iamilava situation. He is out as Tennessee quarterback. How did we get to this point, and where do the Vols now go? We'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Vols. Nico Iamilava gone at Tennessee. How did we get to this point? And what is next for Tennessee at quarterback? Josh Heupel, after the orange and white game, was asked about, hey, at what point did you know that Nico probably wasn't going to be your quarterback anymore? Here's what Josh Heupel had to say on Saturday.
Yeah, Josh, without getting into those details, when was it apparent to you that you would be moving forward?
Friday morning, you know, when he's a no-show, you know, you come off the practice field and there's no communication.
So that was Heupel on Saturday.
There you go.
Pretty direct there. Yeah, when he didn't show up to practice and you come off the field and I had no idea where he was. That's when I had a pretty good idea that he wasn't going to be the quarterback anymore.
That'll do it.
So how do we get to this point?
So dumb.
How has it gotten to what, again, as we'll get into a little bit later, it's not necessarily a new thing. There have been some discussions going on here for a while between Tennessee and Nico Iamilava. But how did it get to the point where he's in spring practice the whole time? Like, he's a participant in spring practice. And then the day before the spring game, he no-shows, and by the time the spring game rolls around, he's no longer a member of the football program. It's a quick escalation.
Yeah, to me, it's just as simple as Team Nico decides that that the transfer portal must be used for leverage. That wasn't enough money, and so again, they're out. It appears back channeling. Trying to shop him. And, you know, usually if you're going to try to ask something like this, it better be because someone else is actually pursuing you. And then if another coach is going to call, you know, your coach and be like, hey, by the way, this happened. I mean, this is serious overstepping. Again, it's just I just really don't believe that Nico did any of this. Nico himself, you know, and I know that he's like, you know, the public enemy number one. I have no idea. Maybe he was like, screw that, man. I'm not going to practice. But I think he was told not to go to practice. And hopefully, like, he and, like, these coaches can at least, like, have, you know, have actual conversations amongst themselves. I mean, I never had any – I thought Nico was liked by his teammates, did all the right things, you know, was everything you wanted. He wasn't great – good enough last year. He wasn't great last year. But – There was other than like not showing up to like autograph stuff a little bit. There's a little bit of that, like not doing the NIL stuff that's, you know, that you're supposed to do. No indications that he was any sort of like an issue or a problem. So to me, his stupid dad decided to let's use this portal. We can get this up to, you know, get this up from 2.4 to 4 or whatever it is. And it's like, I'm sorry, but it's not warranted. Unless there is somebody out there banging down the door.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's a big problem with the system, is that it is constant free agency, and so this happens all the time. Someone said on the text line, and I agree, we said it last week, if he was awesome last year, he'd have that money right now. We never would have heard anything about it. They would have done it. They would have taken care of it. Once this stuff gets public, clearly both sides are completely at odds, and I'm sure as much as Tennessee, as much as Heupel is probably upset about losing Nico – as much as they know, like you said, this team is not as good without Nico, I bet you they're like, Nick Yamileva, get the hell out of my life and stay out of my life. Yeah. I bet you it is like, whoo, good riddance on that one.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And now the question becomes, what does Tennessee do at quarterback? You have two scholarship quarterbacks right now. So Heupel said Saturday they're going to get one. They're going in the portal, and they're going to go get a quarterback. Now, is that going to be a starting quarterback? Is that going to be a quarterback that adds depth to the room? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. But he said Saturday that they will be going into the portal and trying to get a quarterback. So, my question is, if you're a Tennessee fan, what do you want to see him do? Because there's a lot of, well, Merklinger and McIntyre, that's our quarterback room. Like, one of those two guys got to be the quarterback next year. And I understand it. Like, Tennessee fans are riled up right now. I do not think that's a good idea. I do not think one of those two being your starting quarterback next year is a good idea. I think you need to go get someone in the portal. And quite frankly, like, this is what college football is now. Maybe somebody that you don't think is going to be available in the portal do a little bit of tampering. That's what goes on in college football. Like, absolutely. So that is the route I would like to see them take. Because frankly, if they don't, like, I think it could be, I'm not going to say a rough year, because I think they've got a good baseline of talent. But unless I am just totally wrong and blown away by one of these two young quarterbacks, you can probably kiss competing for a college football playoff spot goodbye at that point. Which maybe you could have anyway. Like I said it Friday, like I think they're worse than they were last year. They're certainly more unproven than they were last year. I mean, they got a receiving room that – even a guy like Matthews, who we think is going to be really good, he hadn't done anything in college football yet. So there's not a lot there on the offensive side of the ball that is proven at this point. And now you take Nico out of it, and you're just totally unproven at quarterback. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at quarterback from here.
Yeah, I think Heupel made it clear. Like you said, I mean, Heupel made it clear that, to me, that they, I mean, he didn't come out and say this in so many words, but even saying, convert, like, we got to go get another quarterback. Yeah, you can always play that off as, well, yeah, we got to have more depth in the QB room. But everybody knows what QB rooms are these days. If you have two scholarship guys, you're actually doing okay.
Yeah.
I think, to me, he was saying, you got to get a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Can they? Who can they get? I don't know. But, I'm with you. This is what teams do. They back channel and tamper. And so can they pry? Because, you know, the options of like actual like available, it's not great. So can they pry someone who was planning to start for someone else away from them?
Well, and again, look, people are going to hear what I just said, that Nico is gone and now I'm worried really worried about quarterback as like some validation that he is an unmistakably great player. I don't know. Like, I thought he was good last year as a freshman. He was not great. He was not what he was billed up to be. But there were some flashes throughout the season, notably in the second half against Alabama. I thought he played pretty well for the most part after that game. But there were some flashes where he made some throws. It's like, wow. I mean, look at that throw by Nico. He missed way too many of them. And his numbers were not good last year. So I'm not sitting here acting like Nico Iamaliava was Peyton Manning this year. But there is a baseline of ability there where part of what the story was going to be for them this year was whether or not he could elevate the talent around him. And I don't know. Maybe he would have. Maybe he wouldn't have. Now that's a huge question at quarterback. Like, now they're in a bad spot at quarterback right now, and we'll see if they can get their way out of it.
Yeah. I came away from last year a little bit underwhelmed. I mean, obviously you're hoping that after that year of sitting out, all the talent is all going to come together. Also, and I think that this was part of the actual – like, this was a complaint from Team Iamaliava, from Nick, that I think was valid, which is, like, protection's got to be better. Like, he didn't have a great offense around him. So, at times, I think that he was betrayed by what was around him. Also, I mean, Josh Heupel called games in a way that told me he didn't necessarily trust the kid.
Yes.
And again, he's a redshirt freshman. So, should you immediately give everything over to your first-year starter and say, oh, yeah, let's just wing it around the field? You know, there's a difference between that, like Hendon Hooker as a fourth-year player in college football, right? But I came away from last year thinking, yeah, he could still be really good. You know, he could take a big step, and then you give him a little bit better support. Can you get a number one receiver in this program? Is Mike Matthews going to be that? All right. That stuff. So now you have all those questions, and who the heck is playing quarterback?
Well, and by the way, again, we're going to focus a lot on quarterback today. I'm really interested to see this week. Like, the portal opens up. With Nico gone, does somebody hop in there? Like, are there guys that say, all right, that's not really what I signed up for next year? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, apparently the Matthews thing, that was Team Iamaliava got involved in that. Or, you know, I mean, again, you can say it Nico if you want. And so he gets more money. So, yeah, does he now say, okay, well, my guy is not throwing passes to me anymore. No. Or maybe – do they wait and see?
Which,
can Heupel get somebody?
Right.
You know, then maybe I'll stay.
How long you wait? That's right. It. Portal's not open forever.
This is a big week.
It is. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Chris in Atlanta. Chris, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I think this is sort of just indicative of, you know, college football as a whole. There were issues, I think, around January when the University of Miami was kind of searching for a quarterback to replace, hopefully, Titans' future first-round pick, Cam Ward. You know, they tried to go after Nico, and they ended up with Carson Beck, who signed for a $4 million deal. So I wonder if this is just, you know, one quarterback that's kind of resetting the market, you know, with Carson Beck, you know, now at Miami, and then maybe the Underwood kid that's at the University of Michigan now earning bukus of dollars, and he's not even played a snap yet. I wonder where if – the collectives and the schools need to come out as a whole and say, look, we're not going to pay you freshmen who have not played one snap or one down a bunch of money like we did with Nico or we would with Underwood or however. I think something needs to happen in terms of college football, the entire landscape, to kind of reel this in, because I hate the fact that it happened to Tennessee. But the signs were on the wall that, you know, this was coming. It only takes one quarterback to kind of hold out to kind of, you know, trigger the college football landscape in this case. So, yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that. You know, where do we need to go in terms of college football as a whole? But, yeah, it's a messed up situation, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Thanks, Chris. Guys. Appreciate it. A couple things on that real quick, and then we'll come back and take more phone calls. I hear what he's saying on the freshman part of this of, like, teams not paying – freshman quarterbacks, high-level recruits, especially a lot of money. Under the current setup, it's just hard to do that. Like, you want, if you're these programs, do you want to commit that much money to them? No. You also want to make sure that you land them. And unfortunately, that's how you do it right now. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be some groundswell of change on that front, because under the current setup, and you got to make sure you go get those guys if you're these programs. So we'll see what happens on that front. More of your phone calls to get to coming up next. We got a whole lot more coming on the Tennessee and Nico situation. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Nico Iamaliava situation with the Vols. Let's head right to your phones. Let's welcome in Steve and Franklin to the program on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. My first reaction was, I first heard this and how much money he wanted was good riddance. I thought, you know, last year he lit it up against the non-conference game in the non-conference games, but the conference schedule, he's pretty hit and miss. He played very poorly against the two games they lost, Arkansas and Georgia, and the Kentucky Mississippi State games. He was, they won despite of him. And if somebody wants to pay him that much money for being a better a running quarterback and not a passing quarterback, and so be it. But for a quarterback who cannot – he holds on to the ball too long, and he missed a lot of open throws last year. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad he's gone.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it. I mean, that's, I think, a popular sentiment that we've heard from Tennessee fans since Saturday when all this was finalized. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Listen, first of all, I think this is hilarious. Last year at the beginning of the season, everybody was talking about how Nico was going to win a Heisman this year, and he was going to win maybe two or three before he left. And Tennessee is not – they're to blame as much as Nico is. They gave the largest contract, a NIL contract at the time, to an 18-year-old high school senior, $2+ million per year. So what do they expect when they give a kid that coming out of high school who's never played a snap in college football?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you, Tim. Tim seemed like he was taking some joy in that.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
This is hilarious.
I should have asked him, Tim, who are you a fan of, Tim? Not the Vols. But, no, I mean, hey, first of all, if you're another fan base, you should probably have some fun at Tennessee's expense right now. And I understand what he's saying. Look, Tennessee was out front. Okay,
yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, but I can't sit here right now and say they were wrong. I mean, it didn't work out well. It didn't work out like they hoped. You can see the talent with the kid.
Well,
you know, and that's what it was. That's what it is.
We've talked about this when all this started. These five-star kids that are getting recruited, especially at that position, that are making a ton of money, there are going to be some of those that come in and they're probably worth even more than they're getting paid with the way that they play, the impact that they have, quite frankly, the revenue that they generate. Like there's going to be some that work out that way. And then there are going to be some, and we'll see what happens with Nico as he moves forward here, but there are going to be some, regardless of the program, you think, that you paid a ton of money to, that 2 years in, you're like, good Lord, like what did we do that for? Like why in the world did we give this guy money? That's going to happen. I mean, look, before all these kids were quote-unquote getting paid, that's what five-star quarterback was anyway. There were some that came in that were awesome, and then there were some that were five-star quarterbacks that never saw the light of day.
And by the way, many of them got bags of cash too.
Exactly.
So let's also remember that. But it wasn't this level of money, for sure.
I said earlier in the show, I think this is going to be a big marker on the Heupel tenure at Tennessee. How does he pivot from here? Because, look, I know everybody's fired up right now. Like, Tennessee fans are like, Heupel's our guy. And, you know, Heupel came out the other day and said that no one's above the power T, not even myself. And, look, Tennessee fans are, even people who were out on Heupel that I've seen, they're like, oh, we'll never win the big one with Heupel. On Saturday, they were like, that's my guy. Like, I love Josh Heupel.
That's my coach.
Exactly. So, look, I get all that right now. It's April. When the fall rolls around, number one, what does he do at quarterback here in the portal? But number two, can he salvage this? Like, if they go 6-6 next year, I'm here to tell you, I know Tennessee fans are fired up right now. If they don't have a good fall, people will turn on him. I have seen this. It will happen.
And can also go back and see, you screwed up from the start with Nico.
You should have had better foresight. Like, it will. The conversation will change. if they don't win football games. See, I think people need to be prepared for that.
I think that's fair. I'm actually here for him figuring it out, either like one of these kids or they bring in somebody, they go 10-2.
That could happen.
And then Brent Venables gets fired and the Oklahoma offers him double his salary. Yeah. No one's bigger than the T, but bye, everybody. I'm going back to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate you, Josh Heupel.
Again, like, I have seen enough from Heupel to know that he's a good coach. Like, I think Heupel's a really good coach. Is he ever going to win a national championship at Tennessee? I have no idea. Like, we'll see what that looks like. But, you know, I am interested to see where things turn from here. Like, this is a guy that, as the caller just said, they invested a lot of money in and was supposed to be a guy that led them to the promised land, and you got 1 year as a starter out of him. So how do you pivot from here if you're Heupel? That's going to be what his next move is. And what they do from quarterback from this point on, I think, is largely going to define his tenure at Tennessee. Like, that next move at quarterback, I think, is going to be a big part of his story that's told at the end of the day.
So it's like the same time, like as we talked about, it's the same timeline. Like, this was going to define it. Like, okay, now you're in the prime of Nico. Can you actually have a legit team, or is your ceiling sort of like, yeah, like a really good teams and consistently good teams? So now it's the pivot, but it's the same time frame. Like, right now, he's in a very critical part of his tenure. I do think with some people, this may buy him a little bit of time. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying, man. You go 6-6 and it looks bad next year. There's some people
are fired
that will
not
up have grace for you.
The grace – I've seen this fan base. The grace subsides when you're losing. That's just what it is. And it happens quick with this fan base. Quick, and I don't know that they're gonna look. They may come out and win. Maybe Jake Merklinger is better anyway. Like, he may get out there and just absolutely light it up. I have no idea. I have no idea what.
Yeah,
to
no
expect
one had any expectations
kid.
For Hendon Hooker,
right? So that may happen. And look, Heupel, as he pointed out Saturday, which I did take note of, he made sure to point this out. He has developed a lot of different quarterbacks, so maybe he does it again. I'm just saying. This is clearly not a part of his plan, and now he's got to pivot. So how well does he pivot? That's going to be a big part of how his story is told. We'll have a lot more on this coming up next. Warrior thoughts to get to on Nico Iamaliava and the Vols. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.